Hear now these words, the 150th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise God with trumpet sound, with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance, with strings and pipe. Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The late humorist Irma Bombeck had a gift for relating universal themes in particular stories. In one of her columns, Bombeck captured a heart-wrenching scene that has stayed with me since I first read it. In church the other Sunday, she writes, "I was intent on a small child who was turning around and smiling at everyone in the sanctuary. He wasn't gurgling, spitting, humming, kicking, tearing the hymnals, rummaging through his mother's handbag. He was just smiling. Finally, his mother jerked him about and in a loud whisper said, 'Stop that grinning. You're in church.' The tears began to roll down the young boy's cheeks, and the mother added, 'That's better,' returning to her prayers." Bombeck continued her reflection. "Suddenly, in that very moment, I was angry. It occurred to me that the entire world is in tears, and if you are not, then you'd better get with it. I wanted to grab this child with the tear-stained face close to me and tell him about my God, the smiling God, the God who had to have a sense of humor to have created the likes of us. Here I was, sitting next to the only light left in our civilization, the only hope, our only miracle, our only promise of infinity. If that boy couldn't smile in church, where was there left for him to go?" Now, I'm grateful that Second Church is a place where the God of joy is worshiped, where smiles are encouraged, and where the vocal participation of children is but one sign of hope for the future. Still, I imagine that most of us can relate to Bombeck's story, that if we laugh a little nervously, that some of us have witnessed scenes like hers, even here. Indeed, there can be in the Christian church an assumption that reverence is a synonym for gloominess, or that being serious about God means being dour in worship. I find this frankly peculiar and even paradoxical, given the broad range of scripture that both urges and commands people of faith to radiate a spirit of joy, to sing, to dance, to praise God with enthusiastic and bold worship. Nowhere is this theme more apparent than in the Psalms. Woven through this book of communal poetry and congregational hymnody, we find a passion for praise. This morning's Psalm 150 is a prime example of these exuberant and joyful psalms of praise that beg to be sung. One of you wrote me this week wondering how I would stretch these six short verses to a 20-minute sermon. Jan, I took it as a challenge, so here goes. This brief psalm insists that the only proper human response to the greatness and grace of God is unrestrained, ubiquitous, and yes, unending praise. Praise without ceasing. Let the praise never stop. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. And I would surmise that we all agree that praising God is a part of what it means to be a church, to be a community of faith, to be gathered in God's Spirit for worship. For you have all chosen to participate in a worship service this Sunday morning. Whether here in the sanctuary or on the live stream, you've set aside the time to gather heart, mind, spirit in worship. I think it's fair to assume that at least part of what led you to that decision was a desire to praise God. But it also occurs to me that there may be some discomfort with praise among us today. Not necessarily the view that praising God is undignified, that we must be dour or serious in worship, but perhaps some skepticism of the purpose of praise. After all, efficiency, productivity are fundamental values among us. There is great competition for our time, and even this 1 hour of weekly worship must be carved out of overfull lives. So you might be asking yourself the question, what does praise do? Is the potential return worth the investment of time? Or perhaps most direct and to the point, is praise productive? As I read them, the Psalms respond to these questions in a variety of ways. The first is that praise is our purpose. That praise is the ultimate vocation for the human community, indeed for all of creation. It was St. Augustine who famously prayed, "You have created us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." That is, we were made for praise. And so worship of God, praise of God, is how we find home in the midst of lives that can sometimes feel adrift and aimless. There's something about the rhythm of weekly worship that allows us to return regularly to the source of our life, to reconnect with the deepest meaning of our lives. Yesterday, I returned from a week in one of God's thin places of sacred encounter for me, Montreat in the mountains of western North Carolina. Montreat is a place where praise of God is as natural as breathing. Surrounded by the beauty of those ancient mountains, joined with others seeking a place of rest and restoration, tuned to the transcendent in tangible ways, I haven't missed a summer trip to Montreat since I was a rising freshman in high school 25 years ago. I keep going back because my soul knows something my body does not always recognize, that I need places and times set aside for nothing other than the praise of God. That, I think, is the point of Augustine's prayer, that we need to praise God not because praise creates anything worth trading or selling, not because prayer is productive in the tangible sense of that word. We need to praise God because God created us to praise God. That is, if we are true to who we are, we can't stay away from the rhythms of praise and worship that are built right in to the human creature. But praise is not only a God-given responsibility for people of faith. It is also perhaps our most reliable source of joy. And so another purpose of praise is the experience of delight. I wonder how many of us spend enough time doing something purely for the joy of it. The beauty of our praise of God is precisely that it does not have specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound goals. You can't chart the impact of praise. In fact, you might say that we come to worship to be freed from those expectations and ambitions that often occupy our time. And so if you spend most of your time caring for others, praise invites you to let God care for you, if only for this 1 hour a week. If you are hurting or have caused hurt, praise brings reconciliation and healing that you do not create and cannot manufacture. You simply receive and share. If you come to worship loaded down with grief or sadness, with stress or anxiety, praise gives space and a break. So I would add to the list of reasons why we praise God just for the joy of it. Since early May, I have had a similar experience every single Sunday morning that I have been here at Second Presbyterian Church. Thanks to our summer worship schedule, I have a few moments before worship, and I try to make my way to the sidewalk outside the sanctuary doors for a few moments. And each Sunday, at least one worshiper has walked up to me and said, "This is my first Sunday back. It feels so good to be here." Many have spoken those words with tears in their eyes. And each time it has occurred to me that if we pay attention, our souls are telling us what they need, what we need. Not another task or obligation. Not more stuff. We need this time. We need worship. We need to center ourselves in the presence of God. We need to lift our hearts and our voices in praise. Speaking of joy and voices and sanctuaries, Psalm 150, like many of the psalms of praise scattered throughout the book, underscores what we have learned again in a time of pandemic: the unrivaled power and sacred beauty of music to lift us. We've experienced it in unique ways since the shutdown 15 months ago. The clash of clanging cymbals in the form of banging pots and pans to thank healthcare workers coming off a 12-hour shift. The sounds of trumpet became car horns celebrating birthdays and graduations from a safe distance. The beauty of sacred song found its way through the mediation of screens and airwaves. Yes, we've adapted and shifted and found creative solutions. But we've also discovered, as Dr. Lauer wrote 2 weeks ago, that nothing compares to the real thing. In real time, in real space, with real people. praise of God gathers us in community and gifts us with a song to sing. How many children, parents, teachers, and volunteers still have those vacation Bible school songs ringing in their heads or perhaps being sung from the back seats of their cars? Each summer, I remember those great camp songs and am transported to the open fields of Camp Greer in western North Carolina, where I learned to sing, I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, music. Music moves us in a way nothing else can, and so there's a reason the Psalms exist in the very heart of Scripture, a reason why they have been passed from one generation to the next. Hymns of praise unite the stories of our faith with the stories of our lives. When voices are raised in praise, we feel the presence of God in a unique way. I hope and I pray that there are such moments in worship for each of you when you can release whatever it is that holds you back and simply rejoice in the presence of God. Finally, and here we come to the ROI of praise, the practice of praising God transforms us. You see, the purpose of worship is to remake the world in the image of God's kingdom. It's nothing less than rehearsal for life in God's reign. And so when we worship, when we offer our deepest praise to God, when our hearts are open to God's grace, everything is suddenly somehow different. The Psalms of praise contain within them a contagious spirit wholly unaffected by the circumstance surrounding it. In other words, we worship God, we praise God because our worship is itself a glimpse of the truth we proclaim. Worship changes us. I've seen it happen so many times. Standing beside and walking with fellow travelers in faith in the midst of difficult situations, the most challenging moments life can send our way, when communal worship transforms pain into praise and trust in the promises of God. Now, praise is not a quick fix, magic elixir. It is a practice that must be well practiced. Over time, the practice of praise transforms us. I'm thinking this morning about my dear friend, the Reverend Gad Mpoyo, and his congregation, Shalom International Ministry in Clarkston, Georgia. Clarkston exists in the most diverse 4-square-mile area in the United States, and most members of this new worshiping community of the Presbyterian Church USA are refugees from countries around the world. Many have fled violent and oppressive regimes or devastating poverty, bringing little more than the clothes on their back and the children entrusted to their care. Children whose lives have been characterized by uncertainty and insecurity, whose journey to this country often means separation from loved ones and struggling to make ends meet. On Sunday evenings at 6:30 in a beautiful chapel in Clarkston, all of that somehow fades away. For in that time, at that place, the praise of God is all that exists, all that matters. In that space, there is no reason for fear, no cause for conflict. The world is transformed by the praise of God, and whenever I worship with this community of faith, I am transformed by a vision of the shalom of God. Peace, wholeness, justice for all of God's children. It is, I believe, a foretaste of the heavenly feast, a sign of what will be when God is all in all, and there is no need for anything but praise. Each time we worship, we are in community together, preparing ourselves for what is our ultimate purpose and our deepest joy. I do understand that such a pronouncement might be met with puzzlement. After all, we who praise God on Sunday morning still have to go to work on Monday. Gathering in this space once a week to praise God does not solve the world's problems, does not exempt the faithful from suffering. With so many wrongs to right, so much injustice to remedy, who has time for praise? Stop that grinning, you're in church. What if I told you that the pathway to peace begins in praise? What if I told you that you will be restless until your heart rests in God? What if I told you that the practice of praise is built right into your humanity, a ready antidote to life's inevitable trials? What if I told you that the only way to sustain a life of faith is to surrender yourself in praise to God, the only way? Well then, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen.